from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM.
Burning issue on the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. Assalamu alaikum. A very good evening to you. 14 after 7 o'clock on the burning issue, Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. My name is Ghulam Fakir, with you until 9 o'clock this evening. Something that has been in the news for the last couple of years, give and take about maybe 5 to 6 years, if not a little bit more. And we're talking this evening about the housing and evictions. So basically, I'm going to summarize a scenario, and the people that will be joining me in studio they kind of share the same story, but just differently. But I'm going to ask them to share their own story. So basically, you know about the eviction cases of residents from homes in prime areas and close to the inner circle or inner city, what am I talking about, are obviously on the rise, with more than 60 cases already brought before Cape Town Magistrates Court between April and July. This is according to the data collected by Information and Research Centre Open Up, who works closely with organisations like Reclaim the City, a movement of tenants and workers campaigning to stop the displacement of people from well-located areas and secure access to decent, affordable homes or houses. Now, evictions come in different forms, with private home owners, City of Cape Town, and even the Department of Human Settlements responsible for displacement of families. We've got in studio the following people that is in studio with me, and then, of course, we'll be getting some online. And during the course of the show, 072-238-0712, 47913, and also on 021-442-3530 if you've got a similar issue. In fact, you could be listening to something that you've been trying to get hold of or information, and these are people that would be able to share that with you this evening. Mr. Clive Miller, he's the spokesperson of for the South Road Family Association. Mr. Miller, thank you for joining us.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having us here tonight.
And then also alongside him is Wendy Elmerson, who's the media liaison for the South Road Family Association. Wendy, thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you for having us, Ghulam.
And of course, Ms. Ashura Easton, Sasigul House, will from Reclaim the City. We're going to ask her to tell her own story. Ashura, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And then in the studio with me also, 80-year-old gentleman, also 80-year-young gentleman, Mr. Kenneth Blaine, who is also in studio with us. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
So there was a situation in Bonthevel that I was informed about last year already, and this is just to sort of put into context just a little bit. So what happened was is that there was this guy, he was basically born in the house, literally, right? And when he was now opgegroeid in Bonthevel and everything else, and he got married and he moved to Port Elizabeth, and he lived there for about 16 years, and then after his mom passed, he was often in Cape Town to come and check up on his mom and make sure the house is maintained and everything of the sort. He then moved back to Cape Town after his mom passed on, and he basically put up home in Bonthevel. In a couple of months, or maybe a couple of months, close to a year later, the city came and the city said this is rental stock, and they're not going to demolish the house. It's just that they feel that he cannot live in the house anymore. And he was running from pillar to post. We had it on our news. We were covering the story as it is. We were trying to get hold of people to give answers, etc. Because if it was a situation like, for example, you know, that Mr. Miller will be explaining to us, we could kind of understand a little bit more context. But we didn't understand what the issue was in terms of why it is that this gentleman had to leave his home. So if you've got similar stories, I'd love to hear from you. 072-238-0712-47913. Already getting some messages here coming through from 0777. Alles is alright, Pereis. Glo my, Pereis must lekker warm is in the studio. And so, shukran so much for tuning in as well. Let's kick it off quickly. I want to start. I'm going to ask each one to explain the story for us, and then inshallah we'll take it from there. I want to start off with Clive Miller, who's the spokesperson for the South Road Family Association. Mr. Miller, I don't think 2 hours is going to do justice to the show, because there's a lot of information. I believe this is something that has been going on since 2014 already. And where are we now? What is the situation? Paint the picture for me.
Yes, thank you, Ghulam, and thank you, listeners. Yeah, our battle with the city of Cape Town started in 2014 when we were asked to leave our properties, or in lieu of them started a bus rapid transport system.
Just before you carry on, sorry, where, which area? Where
are we? It is the suburb of Plumstead. It's the area where we live is between Plumstead and Wynberg, and it goes on over the railway line to Waterbury Road, where Mrs. Almerson stays. But we quickly found out that the city had a more sinister plan up their sleeves. But we tackled the city on their own principles and on their own battlegrounds, and it's therefore that we won the first round. And the city, however, fought back, and we ended up again in court. And this time, the judge in the case awarded the city a victory, but it was very, very hollow. But what had subsequently happened is that the MACO member then for transport, which is now with the Good Party, Brett Heron, he urged the city, although they have sort of won this hollow victory, they need to make an assessment to find out if that bid for the My City route down south is actually the preferred and best route. And they employed a company called PricewaterCoopers, which then in fact told the city that the Family Association of South Road was actually correct in saying that South Road is not the best route. Mm. And they need to listen to the community and take the Western Road corridor. They, however, is adamant and ignoring the very people they employed to do this and still hell-bent on coming down South Road. And it is then that urged us to do further investigation, and now it has become crystal clear that the city is in no way interested in the bus route. They are, however, embarking on a quest to sell off these prime lands to developers, which we have also discovered that they are in bed with these developers. And they put up these blocks of flats, which is unaffordable for people in our price class. And these flats are then sold at an exorbitant price. And the communities, they do not care what happens to the communities in those areas. And it is very, very funny that the city preaches a message of inclusivity, when in actual fact we are actually seeing that there is a system that they are employing to get rid of the less fortunate and poor people within these inner cities and prime areas. It's a system we call gentrification. They take us and they move us out into the outer perimeters, like Wolverhoeveer, Delft and Blikkiesdorp. And then they sell off these prime properties to developers. And you know, it is so frustrating.
Just that on that comment, Mr. Miller, sorry to break your word, but you know, have you brought this to the city's attention in terms of your findings, and what was the response?
Well, the city always shines in their absence, because the truth hurts. When they are confronted with these issues, they shy away behind all kinds of allegations, saying that these communities owe them large amounts of monies. We have challenged them to come forward with these amounts. They haven't been forthcoming. We have realized that the city goes and blackmouths the communities. But in fact, they are not actually interested in running these properties for a profit. Because why would you employ security guards at these homes, leave them empty, leave them to rot away, when in fact people could be staying in them, and then the city could generate money?
So they are vacant property at the moment?
There are many, many vacant properties.
In our areas,
in many other areas. As a matter of fact, for the listeners, on Thursday, the city has... we've got a meeting in Wynberg because the city has made it clear that they want to sell off these vacant properties and want to demolish them.
Were you there at the meeting?
No, we are going to attend the meeting.
Oh,
it's coming down on Thursday.
Okay.
because we are going to confront the city officials there, as we have done in the past.
Right.
Because we feel it is unfair that they are actually contributing to homelessness in a city that has such a huge backlog of housing. The city still deems it fit to evict people and add to homelessness. And they have many programs where they actually are worried about homelessness. So this is a double standard message that they are preaching. They're actually contradicting themselves with their actions. So we are going to, we're looking forward to confront the city on these issues. South Road is not unique. We, Wendy, and the other members of the South Road have gone to places like Legoland, Reiterwach. There's a place in Deval Drive, just a stone's throw away from here, where people are being evicted from their homes to make way for these yuppies who can afford 15,000 rand a month for these prime properties. It is sad that in this day and age, when our democracy has gone so far that the city feels that they are accountable to themselves by doing these kind of things.
Mr. Miller, I'm going to have to go for some commercial news, but before I do that, I'd like to also just say that we have extended an invitation to both the City of Cape Town and the Department of Human Settlements, and the both of them wasn't able to attend this evening, neither to be in studio or on the telephone line to speak to us about this, but I'd like to just also do justice to the fact that they have sent through two press statements, or written, basically, replies to this program, and I want to start it off. It comes from I think it's Salika Lang Peterson, who sent this on behalf of Lutando. It says that we're referring to the historical title deeds of people, because this was something I need to go through this. City-owned rental properties are varied and managed under different pieces of legislation that governs what a government is allowed to do with public assets, such as city-owned rental properties. In general, where legally and humanely possible, the city endeavors to consider long-term tenants in good standing, especially for such ownership opportunities. However, each property must be looked at and evaluated on its merits. So it's basically just, you know, they're going through the whole thing of how it is that you get to apply through human settlements, you know, a payslip not older than 3 months and all that kind of stuff. That goes through this more just a formality around that. And then also from the Department of Human Settlements, we obviously extended an invitation to the department, and it's says thank you for your query. And I'm reading this verbatim as it is. Regrettably, Minister Simmons is unavailable due to prior commitments. I can state we've received a similar query from the Cape Times, and our response was as follows. The Department of Human Settlements undertook a thorough public participation process, and tenants were also given the opportunity to participate in the process in more than three public sessions convened in Plumstead, and were provided with non-verbal communication in this regard. The Department of Human Settlements finalized all outstanding matters in 2016. We confirm that the department will be proceeding with the eviction, and they mentioned some names over here who recently attended the hearing at the tribunal where the final determination was made. Kindly note that no paying tenant can be forcibly removed or evicted as previously stated. Specific evictions only proceed in particular cases where there is a breach of the contract or lease agreement. Any eviction can also proceed after following due processes to ensure both parties are represented. Perhaps there will be an opportunity for Minister in the near future to engage various human settlements matters on your platform. So that's the response from Minister Simmons in that regard. We'll get your comment, and we'll also bring in Mr. Blaine and Ms. Ashura also to speak to us around this. We've also got Mrs. Hendricks, who's also in studio with us, and she's from Salt River. All this and more on the burning issue right here on The Voice of the Cape.
Live from Cape Town, this is The Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape.
Well, Welcome back to Burning Issue, Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM, 021-442-3530, 479-13-072-238-0712 gets you in contact and indirect with us here in studio. In studio, I've got with me Clive Miller, the spokesperson for the South Row Family Association. We're talking about evictions here from City Rental Stock. Wendy Almerson, who is the media liaison for the South Row Family Association. And then also I've got Ashura Easton from Reclaimed City. Kenneth Blaine, Mr. Kenneth Blaine, 8-year young resident who was evicted from their home from 29 Plain Street out in Woodstock. And then I've also got Mrs. Hendricks, who is also from Salt River and is also currently facing eviction, and we're going to be speaking to them now. Mr. Miller, I'm going to give you an opportunity just a little bit later to comment on the statement that I've had, that I have read out from both the city and Human Settlements. But before we do that, let's move along to the 8-year-old gentleman who is in studio with us, Mr. Blaine. Mr. Blaine, once again, good evening. And thank you for being here with us in studio.
I'm Joe.
So tell us, what is Mr. Blaine's story? Paint the picture for me.
My father worked for the council. He went on pension on the council. We lived at 377 Frederica Road, Maitland, between First Avenue, on the corner of First Avenue and Frederica Road. In 1976, Mr. Krause came to my father to ask us if we would move to 29 Plain Street. But they had no workers to clean up the house, and that there were vagrants sleeping in the house before we moved in. My father sent me through. I had a look at the house. It was in a terrible state. And they gave us a month to paint it out and everything. I told my father we should buy the house, and they said they can't sell the house because they're going to build a parking lot for the town hall there. They, 31 was also a councillor. 27 of Portuguese Chapel, Mr. Pereira, lived there. They were going to buy his house and then demolish it and have the parking lot built there. But Mr. Pereira said, you never sell to the council. The house is still standing. It's been bought twice since we in the house. I finished the house in a month when we moved in. That was in 1976. The house was on my father's name. When my father passed in 81, it went on to my mother's name. Since 81, when my father passed, my mother used to send me to town to have the house put on my name. I'm still battling to have the house put on my name. 2014, we had a meeting with her when my son moved in with me to let them know, you know, you've got to let the council know if someone moves in with you. And we had a meeting, and I again said I want the house put on my name. They told me I'll have it on my name. The rent will go up. I was working at that time. So. I told them that's all right. I'm still waiting for the house to be put on my name. We used to get eviction orders, letters. I never took notes of it because I never got a court date. And now this, with this last eviction, the clerk of the court came in with a motorbike on a Thursday. He said he's got the eviction order. We weren't in court for this eviction. He got there the Thursday night. He said he's serving the eviction notice on the Friday. The Friday didn't come. He came the Monday morning and with his boys and that, and they just packed the stuff out on the street. We were on the road the whole night.
Wow.
And Reclaimed the City helped us move in again the next day.
Back into the same house.
Back into the same house, yeah.
And what was that feeling like, Mr. I'm trying to understand, you know, just the thinking. You know, it appears that there's just been a lack of compassion and everything else. It just ties with that. What went through your mind?
Man, it's the people that work for the council that are the lost. You get some good ones, but most of them are terrible. They send you from pillar to post and that thing. Then no one wants to take the buck. They send you to everybody. Then nobody helps you. This one sends you to that, that sends you to that.
And Mr. Blaine, you know, did they consult with you?
How do you mean?
Did they come to you and speak to you and give you alternatives?
No, nothing like that.
So no alternative accommodation?
Nothing.
So where would you have gone if Reclaim the City didn't come in and assist you?
Well, we had nowhere to go at that time.
And where do you find yourself now?
I'm still in the house.
You're still in the house?
Yeah.
Okay. And the city giving you still a hard time?
No, we're waiting for the business now. Mr. Brett Aaron came to see me. He spoke to me and that. He said they're busy with that in Parliament also. And they reclaimed the city. It's busy with it. So I'm just waiting now to hear what's going on.
Okay, and then I've also got Mrs. Hendricks, who is currently facing eviction in Saltover. And before I bring Mrs. Hendricks in, I want to go for some commercial news, and then thereafter, inshallah, we will continue right here with the burning issue on The Voice of the Cape.
The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM stereo.
Family and make your life so much easier with 1UP Cash & Carry, where you get more for less and excellent customer service at its best. Remember, wholesale prices straight to the public. 1UP Cash & Carry, where you get more for less.
More for less, it's easier with 1UP Cash & Carry.
The Islamic Dawah Movement of Southern Africa has built over 40 masajid, as well as boreholes and classroom blocks, all amongst previously disadvantaged communities. We have now commenced constructing a new masjid in Dimbaneni village in Eastern Cape. With the contribution of many parties and with united efforts, help IDM complete this project sooner, inshallah. Every rand counts. Ideal for Sadaqa Jariya or Isali Sawab for Marhums or general donations. Call IDM on 031-304-6883. That's right, IDM on 031-304-6883. IDM. Together we merge the light of Islam with the people of Africa, inshallah.
Jolly Nuts Factory Shop. Stockists and purveyors of an array of dried fruit and meatballs products. Cashew nuts, almonds, walnuts, pecan nuts, pistachio nuts, peanuts, and Brazil nuts, as well as your favorite crackles, chocolates, sweets, jellies, and much, much more. Check out our brand new store at 9 Polaris Road, Lansdowne, selling at wholesale prices direct to the public. Contact us on 691-1122. Jolly Nuts, your one-stop nut shop.
Live from Cape Town, this is The Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape.
The Burning Issue.
It is The Burning Issue on Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. Welcome to it. And we're talking about, evictions from the city, city rental stock as it is. And Mr. Kenneth Blaine just explained to us his story of number 29 Plain Street out in Woodstock. Mrs. Hendricks, who is also a resident of Saltover, is also being currently evicted. And I believe that will be appearing in court on Thursday as well. But before we ask Mrs. Hendricks to tell a story, we've got a call on the line. Mr. Benjamin, salaamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Opportunity to listen and to talk, and no other lives are we accepted except the life of Nabi Muhammad salaam. That's why we interact. You know, Mr. Index and people of the South, four years ago we were on the case, and I mean we stopped them in their tracks and keep on stopping them in their tracks, because no way they can evict you people, because to build roads first of all. You know, this is so hard. So there was a program before this on the burning issue as it opens up. up when they basically the eviction has started in the world already 70 years ago, which is in Palestine. And remember what Madiba used to say the day when he came onto the podium on the parade: Palestine will never be free until South Africa is free, and South Africa will never be free until Palestine is free. So I want to go back. The tactics they are basically using at the moment here in the Western Cape is the very same tactic that's going on at the moment in Israel, where the people is put out of their place. Their places are bulldozed. They want to bulldoze your homes to build roads for a bus to drive. This is so sad. I've helped people in District 6 because they wanted to put that people out, and it took us 5 years, and we just put them onto the halt. You people don't move out of your place because they have to give you a proper house, not over a fee. Don't move out because the end of justice is, remember, it is too much dividing. I was now the other night in the artscape. And now it was such a beautiful program. I was invited up to the stage, and I said to myself, no ways, Muhammad, you're not going onto that stage, because there was people of double standards. I'm not going to say who they are, but I didn't want to be in their company, because at the end of the day, remember, if there's anything going on, even in Palestine, the Sikh or anything, you can see who are the people on the stage and who was off the stage. Because at the moment, there is not going to be a play on the weekend in the city hall. It's going to be called from District 6 to Belhar, right, to Cape Flats. That is not people of District 6. We should be in that play, and we would know how to put out the play. People smell the coffin, right, up, because people are raising money for their court cases. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Lines are open. The notes 1442353 0722 38071247913. Get in direct contact with me. I would just also like to point out that there are some questions coming through with regards to getting the house on your name, etc., you know, change of ownership, house has been paid up for 4 years, etc. We're talking about the eviction from city rental stock. We're not talking personal buys or anything of the sort. So, just to sort of get that out of the way. Mrs. Hendricks, I mentioned that we're going to speak to Mrs. Hendricks. I'm going to try and see if I can make eye contact over the monitor to speak to Mrs. Hendricks about this. Mrs. Hendricks, unfortunately, I believe we met for the first time, and we've got to meet under these circumstances. We've got to share this very sad news with us. You know, just tell us your story.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I appear in the tribunal court. They're bringing my rent down to 3,000 rand, and my rent was 4,500 rand. And now you can't get this right because the rent came down, and now he's taking me to court. Our landlord. And he wants me to get out the house because he wants to put other people in the house. And the thing is, I'm staying in the house for 51 years, and I'm 82 now, and we see to the house, he never see to the house, that it can look like a house, that he can say today, Alhamdulillah, I've got houses, because our tenants looking after the houses. He don't give paint and nothing to the houses. He just put the rent up and up and up twice a year. I think it's very unfair. We're also people that struggle. We're not rich people. But now he take me to court. I must appear on Thursday and see what is the outcome is.
And what did you say? I mean, obviously, Mrs. Hendricks is receiving a pension.
I'm a pensioner, yes.
And so how do you manage that?
No, my son is staying with me.
Okay.
He's working for himself, and there's sometimes there's work and sometimes there isn't work, but he don't care. He put people out in the street last week. I went to the people and I tell the people, phone the police, go in the house again. Because it was raining and the people stuff was standing in the rain. It's so unfair for a Muslim to put another Muslim out. And now he takes me on interest money.
Wow.
He say I owe him 59,000 rand, which I don't even know about that 59,000 rand. He is a Muslim, and by our religion, you can't live and eat from interest money. But he do it how this man think, I don't know. Allah must make his mind open that they can think right. And so he never talk about me that if I pay every month my rent and I pay a day too late, that he's going to put interest up. He just sent the attorney in the month of the big Ramadan. Every time he come to me, I get sick to think, what is the next step, what he's going to do now? Mm-hmm. In the Ramadan, he sent me a letter, I must go to court. What, I don't know how this man think.
Mm-hmm. And what is Mrs. Hendricks' options? Come Thursday.
No, I must know you what the magistrate say. You know, I've got good attorneys. I'm busy now with the Cape Law Society, and they will be there in court, in the regional court, second floor.
And let's say, you know, the application is successful on Thursday from his side. What will you do?
I must now talk to the attorney and ask them if you don't have. I don't worry about myself, but my son with the four children, they go to school in Salt River. Where is the children going to school?
Mm. You know, you mentioned something, you know, that only a mother would say. I don't worry about me.
Yes, I feel sorry for the children. If they go to stay at the place now, it's almost the end of the year. Where are they going to go to school? And the children do so good at school.
A lot of things to consider.
One is 7, one is 10, and one is 12. They are not children that can travel with the bus. This landlord don't take that in consideration.
Very, very sad thing. The story of Mrs. Hendricks, of course. And where in Salt River is this, if I may ask?
In Goldsmith Road.
Goldsmith Road.
Yes. Okay.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Ms. Ashura to also just step in here. Ms. Ashura Easton from Reclaim the City, was also very much involved in, just to find out her role as well. Ashura, we've received a nice little WhatsApp for you. Let me first greet you and say assalamu alaikum. And then there was one that came through. Let me see if I can get it quickly. It says, I'd like to send a big shout out to Ms. Ashura Easton, not only important lady in my life, but she's also my mother. And I suppose it's probably because of the hard work that you do. It says, I just want to say shukran to my mom for always helping and putting so much effort into the lives of people who gets evicted in the inner city with probably an invalid reason, down with evictions down, and yeah, it comes from your daughter. So I think when mommies and stuff that do things like that, it does affect the families, but I think that they also value what it is that you do, and you instilling values in them. Before I bring you in, let's see quickly who's on the line before we go for some commercial news. Voice of the Cape, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, Siraj here from Bontegol speaking.
Assalamu alaikum, Siraj.
Yeah. Well, if you look at a bigger picture into the smaller picture, what our Muslims are going through here with property and land and landlords, if you look at the bigger picture, Palestinians and neighboring countries, Muslim countries, were all the time there with the Arab League, and nothing has been done to support that people. Now, this lady, a Muslim lady complaining about another Muslim that want to do it, even if she owes that man money, where's the task team of the Muslim Judicial Council to interfere here? Not interfere, but to help. Because the Jews, most of the Jews that owned land in the Western Cape, they came into this country under General Yanni Smuts, and they were given first-hand, first-class citizenship in our country, and they own about everything today. We got to work through Roman and Dutch law to make a point, our point, you know, a valid and legal fact. We must now go to court and fight for a piece of land or a piece of house. All this land that they've got, the stolen land that they've got, and to see that our people must battle and to pay rent at her age. If I must say just a small something to add to the previous program.
I'm listening.
In 1907, we had 80,000 Jews living in Palestine. And you had in 1900, same year, you had 550,000 Arabs. And a few Jews came together. I mean, we've got rich Arabs around the world, and even a few here in South Africa that can make a difference. Now, 550 Arabs were eliminated. They started with the United Nations were born at that time under Roosevelt,
right,
under Churchill, under Dr. Balfour, Mr. Escott, Dr. Wiseman, and they put Yanni Smut at the head, which he declined, but he gave the whole campaign how to eliminate 550,000 Arabs. You can imagine whose Palestine it was in 1907. If you had 80,000 poor Jews living in Palestine and 550,000 Arabs in Palestine, whose Palestine was it anyway?
I hear you.
Now, General Yanni Smut, at that same time, he decided to eliminate 700,000 of our people, which are buried now here by the Two Rivers Club, and now the city council want to build on top of that land. It's now the last 2 years that, you know, I represent a lot of people. I represent the Khoi, or let me say, I'm one of the followers that, you know, that follow up my culture, which my mother was in, as a Muslim. A great wrong was done to our people. They want to build like a whole city onto our people that was buried there. 700,000 people. They were killed out with smallpox. They were slaughtered and murdered. their scalps were taken off their heads. Their scalps were sold for money.
Okay, I hear you. I'm going to have to leave it there with this, Siraj. In fact, I think we actually just lost that call there as well. 8 minutes to the hour of 8 o'clock. And, of course, there's a lot of frustration that's going, and you can hear the frustration in people's voices. You can hear the sad and the hurt in Mrs. Hendricks' voice as well. And, you know, it puts us as, you know, as a host of the show, presenter, whatever you want to call us, you know, in a very awkward position, because you do meet these people and it does become an emotional thing. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to ask the hard questions as well, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean that we're sitting on the other side of the fence. It's just a situation where we have to be, you know, fair in our reporting and asking those questions as well, as is the case of me reading a statement from Department of Human Settlements and the city for that matter. Tell you what, let's pay the bills. On the other side, we continue.
This is the voice of the Cape. The voice of the Cape. The voice of the Cape. The voice of the Cape.
The burning issue. That's burning issue on the voice of the Cape. 5 minutes to the hour of 8 o'clock. I just want to tell Auntie, well, somebody called you Auntie Beira.
Yeah, Auntie Subaida.
Yeah, but this person called you Auntie Beira. Yes. And his name is Ibrahim Flores, and he says, I know Auntie Beira, and may Allah make it very easy for her. She is a very sweet and precious person that we should treasure. You've got more fans than me, eh? Anyway, so let's move along quickly before we...
But we are a well-known family.
Excuse me, I do apologize. I apologize. Yes. You come from a well-known family. I'm just here for 10 years. It's fine. So before we bring in Ashura, let's just see who's on the line. Voice of the Cape, salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'm listening. I need you to turn your radio down for me quickly, and then we can talk quickly.
Hello?
Yes?
Are you with me now?
I am with you. Speak to me.
I'll just put the lady quickly down.
Yes, please. Okay, so while we are trying to just get the radio down in the background, we are talking about evictions from rental stock. Let's see quickly. Again, are you with me? Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to a resident in Goldsmith Road.
Okay.
I've been staying in Goldsmith Road for the last 52 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you with me?
I'm listening to you. I'm listening.
Yes, I've listened to what Mrs. Hendricks has said, and I'm very sorry to say it is so unfair. That lady has been staying all the years, and I've just visited the neighbor next door, and she also got the eviction. She has to be out by the end of December. What is wrong with these landlords? And on top of it, they put people in the other houses that's drinking wine, the bottles are lying in the pavement, and smoking dach as well. What is happening in Salt River?
Mm.
That okay. is what is happening in Goldsmith Road.
Okay. Shukran so much for that call. I appreciate it. And now we've got to get into some of the hard questions that unfortunately we're going to have to ask. And 0115, we took a question right from a script this evening. And but before we do that, let's just get into the discussion with Ashura Easton, who is from Reclaim the City. Ashura, assalamu alaikum. You've been sitting very patiently, and you basically, let me not say what it is you do. You tell us what it is that you do. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm from Reclaim the City. It's a social movement. We fight unjust evictions, and we assist where we can. We do a support system for people that's going through evictions, the evictees, and as well as we have an advice assembly on a Thursday evening at the Old Woodstock Hospital at 7 o'clock in the evenings. That's basically where we give support, firstly, and secondly, we teach people their rights. So we believe that knowledge is power. So once you have your knowledge, you have your power. But also when people go to court, we go out there and go and support them. Court support is very important. So what we also do is on a daily basis, Monday to Thursdays, there are people being evicted every single day. There's not one day that we've come to court and there's no eviction taking place. So when we go there, people are scared. Whether it's a criminal court or whether it's a civil court, you are scared if you are alone. Many people don't want to tell other people that they're going through an eviction because many feel that it's possibly the skin being pulled off their face. They don't want neighbors to know. They don't want family even to know at those times. So, yes, we are there. We go out there, and that is what we do. We support them. We tell them basically what happens on their first appearance, what they could do. We also assist them to go to the pro bono attorneys.
Of which you would know who they are.
Who they are, and we go and even assist them into the extent of taking them to those pro bono attorneys. Many of them have possibly just rental housing tribunal issues where they have problems with their landlords, and then we go and do that as well. So that's basically what we do. But fighting an unjust eviction is what we do. Support is very important, and that's where Reclaim the City has come in with both cases for Mrs. Hendricks as well as for Mr. Blaine.
Talking about those cases, Ashura, just to come in, I want to sort of get context with regards to this. And 0115 has basically taken, like I've mentioned, he's taken the question of my script. It sounds the way Mrs. Hendricks is explaining to me that she is in a private-owned home of which she's renting from someone.
Yes, she is.
Right. So it's not the city that owns it. It's a private-owned, and he's the landlord, basically.
That's right.
Of that. And I want to get into 0115. It says, is the owner of the property not so... Well, let me get the start again. Is the owner of the property supposed to surrender his property to the tenant? What must the owner of the property do? What about his rights as an owner regarding his own property?
Look, we understand that the landlord, too, has rights, but we obviously always... stress that it's very important for an eviction process to take its course in the sense of where the personal circumstances needs to be taken into consideration. The city of Cape Town needs to be called. They definitely do need to become a respondent on your court paperwork once you get served. Once the city of Cape Town is a respondent and they do come and testify, they will then offer you alternative accommodation. When it comes to an elderly person or children, many times of the case, they would call in social services, the Department of Social Services, where they come and do their story about what they have to offer. With the elderly, unfortunately, they do only say that they can place them on a list to place them into an old age home. And for me personally, and I think for many others out there, for you to be living with your mom for maybe 50, 60 years, and your mom's maybe 80 or 90, to go and place your mom at that point in time in an old age home, I don't think that many people are very comfortable with it.
And could it also be a situation of being irresponsible for you who's been living with your parents for so long and not making sure that they are sorted, whether it is putting them on a housing list 30 years ago?
Well, then again, you could also see it as where the parents were living with you. And you are being evicted. But it's unfortunate that when it comes to an eviction, all the tenants... names goes onto that list for when they get evicted.
But now, what happens in a case? Let's just summarize everything, right? I mean, there's a lot of information. People can go and read up about it. 2 hours is not going to do justice to it, you know. And we can, and I'm playing devil's advocate, because you obviously you are sympathetic towards an 80-year-old, you know. But surely as a property owner, it's my house. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So what I'm asking is that, do I not have rights as that owner?
Yes, you do have rights. Definitely, you do have rights.
Then why are you challenging me when I am just asking for them to move? Look, I'm playing devil's advocate.
It's not challenging anybody or any landlord. It's their property and they have that right. If I was a landlord too and I made an investment in a property, I too would want my property for whatever reason. However, you cannot just put someone out. You need to follow the eviction process.
So you don't have an issue with, you know, the fact that they want to be the person to be evicted. You've got an issue with or not the process has been followed properly.
That's right. And also that it becomes a just eviction, where the tenants do not firstly become homeless.
Okay.
Secondly, that the older generation does not just get shoved into an old age home. And thirdly, I think that when the city of Cape Town wants to throw us 29 kilometers out into Wolvertveer or before Blikkiesdorp, they're now wanting to go to Campies, which is in Philippi. That's where they wanted to put me with my eviction. So I've also currently just gone through an eviction, and it ended in May month, and that's where they wanted to take me. And unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, the city has failed me even with emergency accommodation.
Mm. And that is what I want to talk about, and this is where I want to bring in people like Mr. Miller and Wendy to look at this accommodation, because I've got my own personal view around the matter, and that doesn't matter. But for me, the thing is, if you look at areas like Campus, like Blikkiesdorp, like Wolfrivier and stuff, it has become so clustered. You know, and so overpopulated that you've got to ask yourself, when are they going to put a globe or a dome over here and just like block us off from everything else? You know, because the vices are now becoming even worse.
Yes.
You know, traffic, shopping malls, schools are being overfilled and all of that. And you sort of recognize, for arguments like the low-cost housing that they're building along the N2 and in Delft and in Haderveld and those areas and stuff, you recognize and you can acknowledge, oh, okay, they are doing something nice. But I've always maintained this. It absolutely looks like a glorified shack. And that is my personal view. It's got nothing to do with this program, nothing to do with Voice of the Cape. I've always just said that, but it really just looked like a clue. Because everybody is just like stacked on top of each other, you know? And you're starting to realize that something that I take a bus in the morning, for argument's sake, because it's convenient for me. Usually when I used to take the bus, it would, you know, maybe 6 people in the bus. Now I'm almost got a stand if I'm lucky, because they've been moving people into our areas and stuff like that, and didn't take everything into consideration. But we're going to be talking about this in more like I'm from end of year segment, Memento.
Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape.
Welcome back to Burning Issue on the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. I'm Ghulam Fakir. I'm with you all the way through to 9:26 after 8 o'clock. And time flies when you talk about pertinent issues or when you're also having fun. We're talking about a pertinent issue this evening. We're talking about the city rental stock and evictions. Many, many articles that we can reference, the latest one being on the 9th of October, talking about the alarm as eviction case spiral and clog up at Cape Courts. They're saying that local courts are being inundated with eviction notices, mainly from Woodstock, Salt River and Maitland, as developers are eager to get rid of tenants. And obviously, something that Mr. Miller alluded to earlier, where tenants have been living for generations, and now they want to get rid of this for the developers to build these expensive flats. And this article was published, let me just see if I can find the reference there. Oh, an IOL. So you can go and check it out as well, just as a point of reference. In studio with me, I've got Mr. Miller, and he, of course, well, I've been calling him Mr. Miller, Mr. Clive Miller, the spokesperson for the South Road Family Association, as well as Wendy Elmerson, who will be media liaison for the South Road Family Association. We have Ashura Easton from Reclaim the City, and then Mr. Kenneth Blaine, 8-year-old resident from number 29 Plain Street in Woodstock, and we also had Mrs. Hendricks, who also joins us in the studio. Another guest to also tell us her story with regards to an eviction that is taking place at the moment is Beverly Strong from in Naruna.
Naruna Estate in Southfield, yes.
Great stuff. Beverly, thank you for joining us this evening on The Burning Issue.
Thank you for having me.
Beverly, just paint the picture for us. What is your story? How are things going? What is the process like? And what is the latest?
Okay. I live on Naruna Estate, which is just compromised of 156 units owned by the provincial government, the Department of Human Settlements. I'm the deputy chairperson of the Naruna Estate Residents Association, and I'm facing eviction. I feel it's, I'm being victimized because I'm the deputy chairperson and I'm kind of the voice of the community. I'm the only resident facing this eviction threat. It's been a long process. 5 years ago, we were told to either move to Pelican Park or sign new three-year leases. We refused to do that. There was never any public participation. We met with the ex-minister, Bonginkosi Madikizela, who agreed that the process was flawed and that there had been no public participation and that he would kickstart the whole process.
Beverly, sorry to break your word. I just want to comment on, or rather want you to comment on part of a statement that was released by the Department of Human Settlements to our news department, where they said that the Department of Human Settlements undertook a thorough public participation process, and tenants were also given an opportunity to participate in this process in more than three public sessions convened in Plumstead. Yet you're saying that...
is not true. Okay. That is not true. And I have it in writing from the minister saying that he agrees the process was flawed and that he will kickstart the whole process. There would be no evictions. He instructed his officials to facilitate this process, and that was just ignored by the officials. All correspondence is ignored. I was served last year in August. I was served with an intent to evict. Took it to the tribunal. The tribunal have ruled against me in favor of the department. I was at Ndafuna Akwezi today. They're assisting me. Really, I'm just being victimized. I'm a single 58-year-old woman. I have two foster grandchildren. I was recently diagnosed with colon cancer. I'm undergoing chemotherapy. I've had major surgery. And it is really just a case of victimization. The tribunal were not interested in my story as deputy chair of the Naruna Estate Residents Association. They're saying that the department are evicting me in my personal capacity. I am... Only two of the 156 units, two people took up the offer of Pelican Park, and more than half of them have not signed the new lease. So what I'm trying to say is there are more than 50% of the residents who are in the same position that I am in, and yet nobody else has received any sort of correspondence, any threat of eviction, only me.
What are they offering you as an alternative, Beverly?
Nothing anymore. They offered me Pelican Park in the beginning, as they did with everybody. At that time, there was no infrastructure. There was no schools or clinics or transport or anything. Mm. They offered you a basic shell, and we all refused that. They did say there would be Brian Kawano, who's head of asset management, did at a meeting, at a public meeting at the local school, which we attended, said there would be other options if we didn't want Pelican Park. No other options have ever been forthcoming. And now the Pelican Park is full. So that option is not, no longer available. Mm. But they're not prepared to, to accommodate me in any way. They just want me gone.
Okay, but what could be the reason? Let's look at you. I mean, you're paying your rates and everything
okay,
else.
Okay, what they're saying is they are citing three reasons. Okay. First of all, there are arrears. The arrears are due to the department's incompetence. I waited 2 years. When I moved in, I waited 2 years to get my lease and my rent card in order to start paying. In that two-year period, and I have correspondence to back me up, I, on numerous occasions, got hold of the department and said, when am I getting my lease? How do I pay? How much do I pay? And they kept telling me to wait for my lease and my rent card. That took 2.5 years. There my arrears accumulated. But I made an arrangement. I pay more than double what I should be paying to pay those arrears off, because I realized I did live here. I do need to pay it.
Mm.
But it was due to the department's incompetence. The second reason is that I refused the Pelican Park offer, but so did 150 other units. And also, I wouldn't sign the new three-year lease because there was no public participation, and the minister said he would kickstart the process, which 150 other units also did. There are a lot of other residents with arrears, and a lot more than mine. So this is why I'm saying I've been singled out, because I'm very vocal, and because I'm the deputy, I'm kind of the spokesperson for the community. I'm the voice.
Okay.
Our chair lady is the brains, and I'm the voice.
Okay, so now, according to the Department of Human Settlements as well, that they will be proceeding with the eviction of Ms. Beverly Strong. What are your options now? You mentioned earlier that you've been seeking assistance. What happens next? Where to from here? Let's say they are successful. What happens?
Well, you know, I'm just knowing the government as it is. There's an awful backlog, as you mentioned. So it's not going to happen overnight. I've contacted various organizations, various pro bono, you know, people, and I've got lots of appointments. I'm going to pursue every single avenue to be heard. I've been advised to let them proceed and have my day in court and speak to the magistrate myself. But in the meantime, I've done various newspaper interviews, radio interviews. I'm going to approach every organization that I can find, and I'm just going to get as vocal as I can and wait for my day in court.
Beverly Strong, I'm going to have to leave it there. Thank you for your time.
Thank
you.
And
all the best, and please do keep us updated.
I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I want to bring in Wendy. I mean, you've been assisting all around as well, and also familiar with the case as well, Wendy.
Yes. I met Beverly in 2014, and prior to that, I knew her boyfriend, Peter. Beverly's had it hard. She even tied herself to her gate at home. She refused to be evicted. I take my hat off for her for standing strong and not giving up, and also being the voice to the community of Naruna Estates. I deal with Beverly daily on a daily basis. We'll chat. I've also asked South Road Families if it's okay that we can assist her with legal representation, and we're just in discussion of that now.
Okay, so let's come back to Mr. Miller. We're going to go around the clock again. We've basically heard the stories from Mr. Bailey, as well as Mrs. Hendricks, and then also Beverly as well. But now let's look at your association again, and I see you've been making notes.
Yes, thank you, Gulam. In response to the city, we as a South Road Family Association is aware of the City of Cape Town's tactics. They will never face us one-on-one. As a matter of fact, the previous MACO member, Mr. Brett Heron, ran away from a meeting that was arranged by the NCOP at the community in Plumstead. He cited that we are unruly and that we are a violent community, and yet in our long battle with the City of Cape Town since 2014, there has never been one stone thrown, there's never been one tire set alight, as which is so synonymous with every other community that's had service delivery issues. So I don't know where Mr. Heron got that idea from, but now that he is in the know, he actually knows that we are intelligent people, and we fight the city on their own grounds and with their own arsenal that they fail. As true as Beverly say, the city is in shambles, but what we have come to know is that they are lying. All the time they are lying through their teeth because they hide behind bureaucracy. We've had two previous meetings with the previous Minister of Human Settlements, and various issues were brought to her attention with regards to these evictions. and people that is acting so unscrupulous, as in the case of Reiterwach with Communique, where poor people are being evicted, and Communique is actually starting businesses where these previously government-sponsored homes are now being turned into lucrative business opportunities for Reiterwach residents that are thrown out, and Communique has got these organizations and companies that are making a profit out of previously government-sponsored homes. The department is evicting people, the city of Cape Town, and putting in their own officials. Now, if that is not a travesty of justice, then I don't know what. And we have got proof to that effect.
So what are the reasons for that?
Well, look, the city is very much on a quest, like we say, to basically sell off these lands. So they're putting their own officials in so that the vagrants can't move in. And obviously people that are in need of homes cannot move into these homes. They know that is inevitable to happen. Therefore, they are placing their own City of Cape Town Metro cops in those houses, obviously for various reasons. And the obvious one is that it will be protected. But what was very, very important from the word get-go, and I forgot to admit it to say that, when we first started the battle with the city, they took the hardline stance. And they're still doing it. They're telling us that they are under no obligation to give us alternative accommodation. And that is in direct contrast to what the Constitution says. Because the Constitution says that everyone has the right to adequate housing. And the government must ensure that this right materializes. So I don't know if the city of Cape Town feels that they are accountable to themselves and they don't have to respect the Constitution in that regard. That is the one issue. And these officials come around, they make promises. We have even asked the president in an open letter to put a moratorium, place a moratorium on evictions. And he alluded to it in the State of the Nation address. And all he said was these evictions must stop. And that was all.
Nothing official.
Nothing official, no concrete. So it seems to me that even the highest power is not willing to commit to the constitutional rights of our people.
I wanted to hold your thought. I'm going to come back to you after the break, and then I'm also going to give Wendy a few minutes, and then there are one or two questions to Ashura that I want her to answer, and then we're going to have to wrap it up, okay? So we've got about 12 minutes or so before we need to conclude. And before we go for that commercial break, just a message that came in. It says, if you look at what's required to qualify for a unit at Communique as a pensioner, we never ever will be able to get a unit. That comes from 3587. Shukran, I appreciate your WhatsApp. 0722380712229 says, I stand for the people of South Road. We had the same thing, but with a private buyer in Beggar Square, Witabuma. I live in Pelican Park since 2014 and not sorry that I moved here. No worries. The property is on my name. From 2209, value your comment as well. Let's go for some commercial news on the other side. We are going to continue and wrap it up.
Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape.
The Burning Issue. I do apologize to 5513. Shame, you sent this WhatsApp in almost an hour ago. And 5513 says, Mayor Dan Plato should be answerable for all these evictions. What kind of mayor does not know what's happening in his city? Even council staff are being evicted from council dwellings, and huge amounts of rent should be paid via new leases. Appreciate your comment, 5513. 5138 says, Salam, guys. Just remember, the ANC is not ruling South Africa. Only elite groups, white minority, are ruling South Africa. Comes from Mr. I think it's Malam. and then I'm going to keep the question when I speak to Ashura a little bit later. Recently, the city increased the rent of poor domestic workers living in Salt River from 243, from 243 rand to 5,500 rand. This is a 2,000% increase overnight. That comes from 1185 that also shared there as well. Let's quickly hand over to Wendy. Wendy, with regards to the area that, you know, where you guys are doing your work,
yes,
where are we now and what is the way forward?
As the South Road families, we refuse to back down. We will continue to fight against the city. We have legal representation who's representing us in court, and our attorneys will definitely be engaging the city.
Okay, and I mean, this must be a costly affair. I mean, attorneys and everything else, or is it at least for now pro bono? Or?
For now, it's pro bono, yes. However, each family member within the association contributes a minimal amount every month.
Okay.
And yes, and then we pay that towards the attorney's fees.
Okay, that's fantastic. Yes. And then Wendy, also just, and you can share between the two of you quickly, you know, just advice to others who might be facing similar struggles, you know, because it's like Ashura alluded to earlier, where you just give up, you're worried about saving face and what the neighbor's going to say, etc., etc. You know, just to give some words of encouragement as well.
I'm going to let Clive Miller answer that, but what I do want to say, Ghulam, our fight started in 2014. We were all fearful at first. And of course, now 5 years later, we're still fighting. So definitely there is hope as long as you have faith.
Fantastic.
Yes, I want to also iterate that you should not back down, never give up. Muster up all your strength and please keep on reminding those that we have put into power that they must serve us and not the other way around. And I want to encourage you with a wise word from someone who said, freedom that does not bring equality is not freedom we want or should be content with.
Powerful words. Powerful words. Mr. Miller, thank you so much for coming in this evening, as well as Wendy.
Thank
and
you.
And
Mr.
Bailey,
us.
Thank you for joining us. Mrs. Hendricks, shukran so much. We've got a huge fan base. I said that. Yeah. Ashura, just very quickly. Mrs. Hendricks wanted to speak to me. The biggest calm. Okay, while we're trying to do that quickly, just Mrs. Hendricks?
Yes, Ghulam. I just want to thank Reclaim City and for John T and all the attorneys that are so helpful to us. Thanks very much for you.
Shukran, Mrs. Hendricks. I appreciate your comment as well. Then also, my daughter tried to get a place in Dromedaris that are owned by a company that are... in the studio, the criteria they want is your whole life. She and her husband earn more than 13,000 rand. That's what they asked for, but she was declined. What can she do? When you talk about housing and healthcare, it's huge. It matters to these people. I just want to say shukran for always uplifting the people who get evicted every day and having to face court days every day. Shukran for spending the time for doing court support and helping those around you, especially people you don't know, but have the heart to listen to the stories. Appreciated most, and I think this goes to you, Ashura, and that also from the CGH Woodstock that came in there. Yeah, that's something I can pass on. Ashura, before we go, there was one question that came through. It says that they don't think that it's a very realistic approach about what we spoke about earlier. They say even if the process is followed and the person is still evicted, she obviously will still be homeless. And of course, the you know, evicted person won't accept accommodation if it's not in the area. So it does sort of tie in. You know, so your comment on that?
I agree with that. But that is the realistic of what actually does happen with an eviction. You many times become homeless if the city cannot face up to what they need to provide us. And yes, we do get thrown into the outskirts of where we originally stayed. So like I said previously, with my case, they would have wanted to throw me in Wolverfield, but we knew that when the city came to come and testify, that Wolverfield was full at that time when they came to come and testify, and they knew that too. And then campus became an option. Mm. So yes, I resided in the Salt River area and I was evicted from the Salt River area. And I would have gone to campus, and like I explained, the situation there wasn't too great to actually go there. But the city failed me because the day before my eviction was granted. The day before my court order was finalized for me to be evicted from the Salt River residence, that's the day that they asked me to go and view campus. I actually forced them to take me. I had to meet them there in an area that I didn't know. The city official met with me. I had to drive in the car. I was instructed that I'm not allowed to get out. I needed to remain in the vehicle. And when friends of mine came along, they were a bit late. My friend had a camera because it's like something new where you're going to move to possibly and, you know, stuff like that. The city official actually threw myself and a friend with my three-year-old baby out of the car. He then phoned his senior and said that we now want to go back in. I want to go and walk. My thing was just that the fact that you wanted me to go and live there tomorrow, but you don't want me to walk the grounds today.
Mm.
That for me was a question on its own. And also with the statistics of the murders in the Philippi area on its own, that for me was a concern. So guess what? With the city official phoning the senior and actually saying that, the city actually just a little untrick.
Mm.
And then they then made contact with me, with my pro bono attorney, and she also withdrew herself from the case. Hence, the city of Cape Town is actually a client of that firm itself. So I would have basically have been stranded. Luckily, last year October, I started using the facilities of what is now dubbed as the Sister Cool House, which is the old Woodstock Day Hospital in Woodstock. Because constructive eviction was starting to take place from the landlord, where my electricity was cut and my water was cut. I've got a three-year-old baby, 16-year-old son, and a 19-year-old daughter. When that started happening, I started, you know, looking for things, because then the eviction process has started already. And luckily, I started using the facilities. I was in by a certain time, because Reclaim the City received a court interdict to say that they can no longer take any other people at the day hospital. So luckily I was in by that time and my name was there and stuff. But if it wasn't for the old Woodstock Day Hospital, where would I have gone with my children?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, the people out there call us criminals, but guess what? I didn't see myself as a criminal, because where would I have been staying right now?
Mm.
So with that being said, we don't want to go to Volver Fear, because I personally believe, besides Reclaim the City, I personally believe that I can live and work and play in the same area. I too have the right to live in Sea Point, Greenpoint, Weinberg, Constantia, that I can do everything in the same area. It's not fair that we need to travel for 2-3 hours to get to work, back again home. When do you spend time with your family? So your traveling expenses becomes quite a bit. And then also with the trains being late, you're going to get to work late. You're going to be fired eventually. What are you going to do then? In Volver Fear, 29 k's out of Cape Town, where's the transport system there? Where's the clinic? Where's the schools? I mean, I have a son that goes to Harold Creasy High School. My daughter is at college in Paro, and my baby is with me. So, yes, we don't want to be homeless, but many times we are. Again, I'm going to say, to answer that person, if it wasn't for the Sissy Gull House, I would have possibly have been homeless. And so then with the area too,
okay.
I don't think anybody wants to move out of an area close by, possibly if we don't have an option, but I don't think it's fair to anybody and constitutionally right to send somebody so far away, away from their families and friends of the area.
Just before we wrap up, and I've got about 3 minutes or so before I do, and I want to continue this discussion in terms of your role with Reclaim the City. There were many questions that came through, and I thought I'll just summarize it very quickly. I painted the picture with regards to this 44-year-old guy out in Bonteville. He was literally born in the house, raised in the river. Another few questions that came through. It also spoke about, you know, and I wanted to share advice with these people. What is it that they can do? People are saying, you know, I grew up in the house and it was my granny's house. And then it became my dad's house. Then it became my uncle's house. And now it's like, I'm all know Fadunia, they all passed on, you know. And now the city's saying you need to move. It just doesn't just automatically become yours. And they want to institute the whole eviction process. What is it that those people can do?
What I'm going to advise people out there, to all the listeners that have those concerns, look, every case is an individual case, firstly. Secondly, they do need support. So what we offer at Reclaim the City is we have the advice assembly on a Thursday evening. They are more than welcome to come even this Thursday evening. It's at the old Woodstock Hospital. It's in Mountain Road. And we meet at 7 o'clock. That is where we do the advice assembly. We give advice to people who has concerns like these that were raised now, as well as we teach people their rights. So once you have, you know, your rights, you have knowledge, and knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to encourage them to come along to the advice assembly. They also encouraged to go to our website, being the evictions.org.za, where they can also do the eviction process, because what we've realized that it's not just meeting people one-on-one basis, but there are people out there even across the world that's going through evictions, and that they can go online and go and see what the process is like and where they can actually go to.
A message, and I want to give you, Mr. Miller, another minute or so just to just let us know very quickly what's the way forward. But I just want to say there's a message that came in from 7575. May the Almighty make it easy on all of you, especially also Auntie Beira, who's facing these unjust evictions and grant a successful outcome. Amin, keep fighting. You're one amazing woman for standing up and speaking up against the issue. Auntie Beira, of course, getting that message. Just needed to share that with you. Now, she made a very interesting point, factual. She says she comes from a popular family, so and that is why she's popular. Mr. Miller, you know, just as a point of departure quickly for your organization, what is the next step? What do we do? I've got a minute for you.
Yes, I encourage people to stand together, because it's only through unity that we will eventually overcome this battle. And we need to constantly remind these officials that are in power that they need to honor their constitutional commitments to the people of South Africa. Because if they don't, we do not even want to think of the alternatives that can happen. Each and every day you will just open the newspapers and listen to the radio where people are up in arms. But we always implore people not to resort to violence and rather sit up around the table and discuss and negotiate the way forward. So with the people, if we come together, that is the only way that we are going to overcome and eventually taste the fruit of our freedom.
Thank you so much to all the guests who joined us in studio this evening. Beverly Strong, we just spoke to a couple of minutes ago. Also in studio, Mr. Clive Miller, the spokesperson for the South Road Family Association. Wendy Elmson, who is the media liaison for the South Road Family Association. Also, Mr. Kenneth Blaine, 8-year-old resident from number 29 Plain Street in Woodstock, also having the same issue. Also from Reclaim the City, Ashura Easton was also in studio with us, as well as Mrs. Hendricks as well. It's been wonderful being in your company. I'm all over your radio tomorrow morning between 6 and 9 again, inshallah, on breakfast, standing in for Sabra. Looking forward to it, to engaging with each and every one of you. It's been wonderful being in your company. Umar Morris, thank you so much for production. To Kanita as well, and yeah, like I said, we'll do this again tomorrow, inshallah. Remember, Shafiq Siddiq is on with you. Shafiq Siddiq, yeah, he's in for you, Sufi Shah. Listen, sorry, I didn't say anything else. Shafiq Siddiq is with you at 9 o'clock. That spot on top of the hour with the caravan. He keeps you company all the way through to the wee hours of 12 o'clock. From myself, Ghulam Fakir, and the team, we'll do this again tomorrow morning. Have an absolutely fantastic evening in the company of the Voice of the Cape. Until then, lekker day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.